You're listening to the Vertical Access Podcast. VA is the college-age community of High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. For more information, go to highstreet.org.
So let me ask you this. Let me start off this way. Have you ever had a moment in life where you realized something wasn't quite what you thought it was? Right? It's like that moment when you open up that bag of chips and it's like half full. Like, wah, 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 right? Like, that's not what I was expecting. Okay, let me share a story of like that from my life. And it's absolutely hilarious and absolutely horrible at the same time. Okay, it was the first time I ever went on a date. All right, it was my first date I ever went on. And it's all going to make sense. Just trust me. It'll come back around here in a second. And so I had just gotten a job. My first job I ever got was at Target as a checker. Anybody ever worked like as a checkout, like at a grocery store, at a Target or Walmart? It's terrible. People are mad, and they always, like at Target, you would have a giant like ironing board with tons of baby food, and you're trying to, anyways, it was not a fun job. So, I remember the very first paycheck I ever got, I was absolutely stoked because I'd never had that much money before. And so I thought to myself, what am I going to do with this money? Let's go out with a girl. And lo and behold, I actually got a girl to say yes, which is a miracle in and of itself. And so I literally, thank you, Michael. Here was my pickup line. You ready? You can laugh at me. Hey, just got paid. How about I take you out on a night on the town? Now, here's the other funny thing. Okay, this is 16-year-old Brian, okay? This was on AOL Instant Messenger, too, all right? This is how long ago this was, all right? Hey, this was literally 10 years ago. This is a decade ago, okay? A decade ago. So it was awesome back then. And then I was expecting, like, I'm about to get shot down. And she's like, bloop, yes. What? So I was pumped. So I got my first paycheck, and I took it to the bank. And I was like, I got to get this deposited in the bank now so I can have my money. And I was so excited. And so it was Friday night, and I was going to pick her up. And I was like, I'm just going to swing by the bank. Then I'm going to go pick her up, get my money and go pick her up. And I had my hope for the night, like for the night to go well, all of my hope was hanging on one crucial thing, that when I went to that ATM, I was going to put my card in and money was going to come out, right? Like that was all of my hopes and dreams for my first date ever were hanging on that one crucial thing. Card goes in, money comes out. So I put the card in, not sufficient funds. Okay, maybe it was wrong. I put it in again. Not sufficient funds. Do it again. Not sufficient funds. And I start freaking out, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to pick her up in 10 minutes, and I don't have money, and I can't ask her to pay for me on the first date, right? That doesn't work well. What am I going to do? And have you ever, it was like that moment where like panic struck, and it set in, and my heart's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and I'm starting to get hot and sweat, and my face is starting to flush. And have you ever had that moment before where you're just kind of freaking out, you don't know what to do next? Right, because what happened was all of my hopes were hanging on the fact that when I go to that ATM, money is going to come out. And when I found my hopes to be false, when I found everything that I was hoping in to be not be what I thought it was, to be a false representation of what it really was, I was devastated. Everything fell apart. So let me show you how that illustrates this sermon series. There are so many people in our world who place all of their hope for life and eternity in a faith that's empty and broken. In fact, in a room with this many people in here, I would venture to guess that there are some people here tonight who have been placing their hope for their entire life and all of their hope for eternity in a faith that they probably think is okay, but in reality is broken and empty and bankrupt. And one day, maybe just one day, you're going to go to that ATM and you're going to try to withdraw from your spiritual account and you're going to find it says not sufficient funds and you're going to be devastated. I see this all the time. Now, luckily, the Bible, the New Testament especially, gives us a picture of what authentic Christianity looks like, of what genuine faith in Jesus looks like. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to see and ask the hard questions, and they are hard, difficult questions. Does my life line up with the picture of true Christianity that I see in the Bible? Right? Like when I go to the well and draw, is water going to come out? Is what I am identifying myself actually authentic and true in my life? Or am I putting my hope in something that's really not going anywhere? So let me take you back to that moment and kind of finish the story, because it gets even more funny and even worse, okay? And I'll kind of set up what we're going to talk specifically tonight about with that. So I'm in the car, and I'm freaking out, and I don't know what to do, right? This is my first date I ever went on. I don't have the experience for this. I don't know what to do. I can barely talk to a girl, more or less, you know, actually execute now, not having money and how to have an awesome date. And so I had come to the end of my rope. I was worried. I was afraid, panicking, stressed, you name it, that was me. And so my last ditch effort, I did what many of you would have done. In my case, I called my dad. And I said, "Dad, I have got to pick this girl up in 10 minutes, and I've got $0. And he's like, "Okay, Brian, don't worry. Go pick her up so you're not late. You don't want to be late on your first date. And come by and get some money from me." Now, here's the problem. My dad wasn't at my house, which would have been okay, right? I'll just run in, run out, boom. My dad was at my Aunt Roxanne's 40th surprise birthday party, okay? So we pull into the parking lot, and we get there, and I say, "Hey, I've just got to," I'm already feeling stupid because I explained to her, "I'm not smart enough to realize there's a processing period when you deposit the check into the bank before you can get the money out, and so I've got to go get money from my dad on my first date." You can imagine. Now, we pull into the parking lot, I'm like, "Hey, I've got to go in real quick. It's my aunt's 40th surprise birthday party. I'm just going to run in real quick. Are you cool staying out here?" She's like, "Yeah, I mean, I can go in if you want." "What? Really? Like, you don't understand. Like, all of my family and all of my family's friends are in that building." It's like, and I asked her again, "Are you sure? I'll be like 2 seconds. You just want to hang out here?" She's like, "No, I'll go in with you." All right. So very first date. And this doesn't have as much to do with the story. Just really funny. I take her into the room, and she starts to meet my nana, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins' friends, my cousin's baseball coach, my friends, my baseball coach. She met my entire family on a first date. Now, some of you freaked out when your whole family met your boyfriend or girlfriend after a year. Okay, this was the very first date. And believe it or not, I get the money from my dad, and we were about to walk out. And then lights go out. She's on her way. My date actually got to enjoy the surprise birthday for my Aunt Roxanne's 40th birthday party. So that was just the beginning to my very first date I ever went on. There's a whole lot that went bad after that too, and which, if you have some time, I would love to share that with you so you can laugh at me. But it was awesome. But let's go back to that moment in the car, because I want to kind of analyze what was taking place in that moment. All right? In that moment, I realized I don't know what to do. I have come to the end of my rope. I've got no answers, lots of questions, not a lot of answers. I need more experience and perspective than I've got right now. And so I realized I can't do this on my own. I can't figure this out on my own. I've got to call someone for help. I need help. And luckily, I had a very deep and strong relationship with my father. And when I called, he, having much more experience than I do, much more wisdom than I did, was able to speak into my life the truth that I needed to hear at that time. So here's the issue. Okay, we live in a world of inauthentic faith is rampant. Okay, I'll even go a step farther, and I'll even call it counterfeit Christianity. And the problem with counterfeit Christianity is it breeds and produces self-righteousness. And this self-righteousness leads us to think that we're okay, that I can do this. I don't need to invest in meaningful relationships because I'm okay. I don't need to let people in and know me personally and know my fears and my struggles and my issues, my junk in life, because really, at the end of the day, I'm not a bad person, and I can figure this out on my own. And I really don't need to commit to other people to do the same for them. And so counterfeit Christianity produces this incredible pride that says, at the end of the day, I'm all right. But here's one thing I know that's true of every single one of us. None of us are strong enough. None of us are good enough. None of us are brave enough. None of us are wise enough to do life on our own. Mark it down. Eventually, you're going to come to a point in your life when you need help. And if you aren't investing in those relationships now, that day when you find that you have your hopes have been devastated, it's not going to work. You're going to be freaking out, and you're going to have no one to turn to. Right? When I was in that car and I started freaking out, I could bank on, rely upon, depend upon my relationship with my dad because we had previously invested in one another. And things went okay. And so tonight, what we're going to talk about is this. Here's the big idea. Okay, true followers of Jesus, authentic Christianity, true followers of Jesus invest in meaningful relationships because they need truth spoken into their lives. Okay, authentic Christians are going to invest in meaningful relationships because they need truth spoken into their lives. So what I want to do is I want to take a look at that first half. We're going to look at what does it mean to have a meaningful relationship and to invest in it. So if you have a Bible with you, turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Mark 3, 31. If you're new here and you don't, you can follow along with us on the screen. And we also have free Bibles out in the hallway. If you don't have a Bible or if you don't have one that's easy to read, we would love for you to take that with you. It's a gift. It's free to you. And open that up and learn how to read it. And so we start in Mark chapter 3, verse 31. And it says this, talking about Jesus and his mother, Jesus, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers came. And standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So what I want to do real quick is I want to just lay this out very quickly because we've got a lot more to get to. What's going on in this passage? So first of all, you have to know this. In this time period, family was everything. Your most meaningful relationships were your immediate family and then your extended family. It's not like today where a lot of us don't even, when you hang out with your cousins, it's just weird because you don't know them at all and it's kind of awkward, right? For them, back then in agrarian society, in smaller towns, family was absolutely everything. Honor was everything. The tightest, closest relationships you had were your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your grandma, your grandpas, and so on and so forth. And so when we look at verse 34, look at it again, this doesn't make sense for this context because Jesus says, and looking about at those, I'm sorry, verse 33, and he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at everyone who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and here are my brothers. Because what we see, first of all, is like, all right, if you're the Son of God and holy, why are you rejecting your family? Because get the picture here, okay? Jesus is in the house, and he's teaching, and at this point in his ministry, he's gotten a lot of people to follow him. His fame and notoriety has spread, and he is so surrounded by people that his own mom and brothers cannot even get into the house to come and talk to him. And so word finally gets to Jesus, say, hey, your mom and your brother are outside looking for you. And he stops, and everyone's listening, trying to see what he's going to do. Is he going to get up, and is he going to leave his teaching time? And he says, who's my mom? Who are my brothers? You all, if you do God's will, are my mom, my brothers, my sisters. So how does this make sense? Because we know he wouldn't just reject his family and say, I don't love them anymore, I'm moving on, the ministry is more important, right? We know that's not a godly mindset. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying this, as close and as strong of a relationship that he can have with his mom and his brothers and his sisters, there is a bond that is even tighter and stronger than that. What he's saying is that the most meaningful relationships in this world are those that are defined by eternal realities. He says there's something more important than flesh and blood, and that's the flesh and blood of Jesus. He says that's the will of God. It's having God as your father and having a brother who also has God as your father. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have strong relationships with people who aren't Christians, but it does mean this. That best friend you have who's not a follower of Jesus, that relationship will be far more meaningful if they love Jesus and they pursue him too. It doesn't mean you can't have close friends who are outside of the church and outside of Christianity, but it does mean that if those same friends come to love Jesus, that is going to be even richer and deeper and more meaningful. Why? Because a lot of our relationships are defined by temporary circumstances. Let me illustrate this for you. How many of you are still really close with your friends from high school? Okay, a few of you, right? I don't know about you, but as the longer you go on, I hung out with a group of about 10 people that I would have called, I was pretty close with these people. You know how many people I speak with from high school still? One. About two or three times a year. Why is that? Why is it that part of life is you naturally disconnect from people that you had that you thought you were so tight with and close with in high school? It's because those relationships were defined by temporal circumstances. They were defined by moments that you shared together as a 16, 17, and 18-year-old in class, on the football field, right? At lunch, hanging out. And as you grow, if those relationships aren't defined by things that are grander than I'm a 16-year-old and I like to go bowling, right, they're not going to continue on. But if that same 16-year-old who has a buddy who likes to bowl and both those buddies while they're bowling talk about Jesus because they love him, that's a much more meaningful and enduring relationship, because even if they don't see each other in another for the next 70 years, one day in eternity, they're going to be reunited as bowling buddies and bowling for Jesus, right? Sarah's like, Brian, that was weak. Here's the point. The most meaningful relationships in your life will be defined by eternal circumstances. They will share common values, passions, beliefs, desires. Here's how it gets personal for me. Okay, I've got a lot of family that's not Christians. Okay, by and large, maybe nominal Christians at best. And what I realize is as close as I am with my family, my cousins, my brothers, my sisters, those relationships would be so much deeper and richer and better if they knew and loved Jesus like I do. And so what we see, first of all, if a true follower of Jesus invests in meaningful relationships, a meaningful relationship is defined by eternal circumstances. It's when I share time with people who share the same beliefs as me, the same values, same passions, desires, and we have something deeper than just the circumstances we find ourselves in now. But then we also have this idea where I said, you have to invest in these meaningful relationships, right? These things don't just happen. You don't just wake up one day and become best friends with someone. So what do I mean by this word invest? I said, true followers of Jesus invest in meaningful relationships. Have you ever heard the phrase, you have to spend money to make money? Anybody ever heard that phrase before? The same thing can be said of friendship. You have to spend time, energy, sacrifice, service to make friends. It doesn't just happen. It's an investment. I am investing my time and energy, just like I would invest into a stock. I'm investing money so that money will grow. I'm investing time, energy, love, sacrifice, patience, endurance, so on and so forth into you, and you likewise into me, so that our friendship can grow. They don't just happen overnight. Meaningful relationships are the exact same. That's why the New Testament goes to such great lengths to be so other-focused. What I mean by other-focused is that it's not just about what you can get, it's about what you can give. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4 has a very good illustration of this. It says this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. It says, don't be motivated in your relationships by what's best for you. It says, but in humility, count others, there's that other focus, more significant than yourselves. It says, find the best in people. Look at people and realize that they're made in the image of God. In verse 4, this is where it really, the rubber hits the road. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. It's saying, if you want to have meaningful, genuine relationships, you've got to be other focused. You have to be investing in others. It doesn't just happen. You've got to take the time, you've got to sacrifice, you've got to put the effort forth for these things to flourish and grow. So let me ask you a few questions, okay? How many meaningful relationships do you have? If you evaluate the landscape of your friends, and you think about the circles that you run in, the people that you know, how many of those relationships are defined by eternal realities? Not just, oh yeah, I go to church with so-and-so, and we hang out a lot. But no, I know so-and-so loves Jesus, and I love Jesus, and we talk about these things. We share these things together. We are passionate about the gospel. We're passionate about these things. And it's not always 24-7, God, Jesus, this and that, but it's that dynamic makes everything else in our relationship that much better. How many of your relationships are defined by eternal realities? Consider your closest relationships, right? Think about the people in your life that you are the closest to. What defines those things? Is it temporal? Is it eternal? What could you do to make those things even better, right? Like, could you invest more time focusing and talking about spiritual things to make those relationships richer and deeper? So let me ask you this, okay? So I'm talking about How many meaningful relationships do you have? But let me take the flip side too. What are you doing to gain those relationships, to enter into those relationships? Let me ask it this way. Do you worry more about who's going to listen to you or who you can listen to? Is it a greater concern and worry in your heart that you feel like no one knows me? I don't have anyone to talk to. Is that a greater concern and worry? Or are you more concerned and more worried about that person needs someone to be listened to listen to them? That person needs to have someone who understands them. Who am I actively serving and pouring myself out to be open to them, to let them vent on me, to let them open up their life to me? Because here's the problem. Let me just get really honest with you. And I've seen this in so many times in so many ways. We desperately want to have close friends, but what we really are saying is I want them on my terms, that's easy for me and makes me comfortable. And as soon as it costs me too much, I'm going to be out and I'll try to find it somewhere else. You will never have meaningful relationships unless you sacrifice, unless you invest, unless you pay what it's going to cost to make those relationships grow. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes face-to-face interaction. That's what it takes to make meaningful relationships. How have you invested in people to go beyond the surface? Not how have people invested in you. How have you invested in others to go beyond the surface? So why are these meaningful relationships so important to you? I said, right, we started out with this. True followers of Jesus invest in meaningful relationships. But why? Why? Well, let's go to the second part. It's because they know they need to hear truth in their life. Authentic Christianity is built on meaningful relationships because genuine followers of Jesus know I need to hear truth in my life from other people. We have an incredibly great need for this. Let me read you Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Here's the key. "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So I want to try to prove to you right now how incredibly great your need is for meaningful relationships. Look at verse number 3. It's just funny, okay? I find this funny. It says, "For if anyone thinks he is something," he's a big shot, he knows it all, he's good to go, "when he's really nothing," he's fooling himself, he's deceiving himself. See, there's a mindset that pervades a lot of people, especially younger people, that says, "Man, God, aren't you lucky to have me?" Right? Like, look at me, all-star Christian, A-team, first string, right? There's this mindset that says, man, that church would be blessed to have a volunteer like me, to have a leader like me. You know how I know that's true? Because I have that mindset all the time. I'd be like, "Sarah, you know how lucky you are to have me as a husband?" You shouldn't laugh that hard. You shouldn't laugh that hard. I'm like, I go to my dog. I do this all the time. I say, "Penny," my dog's name is Penny. That's funny. Gosh. I say, "Penny, you are so lucky to have me because we got you from the pound. That means you would have been dead if we didn't get you. And we can take you back." That's what I tell her all the time. Now, some of you who love animals are like, "That's the cruelest thing in the world." So that makes her love me more. All right, good. Anyways, right? There's this mindset that says, I deserve to have the spot. The spotlight. I deserve the first string. I deserve this and that. I deserve relationships. And it's so funny. Paul says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he's fooling himself. The reality is we're all broken people. If you think you're an all-star Christian tonight, you're only fooling yourself. We do not have it together. You and I do not have it together. Let me say it one more time. We do not have it all together. There's going to come a point in your life when you need someone to speak into it. You and I aren't strong enough. We can't do this on our own, right? We're all jacked up in our very, very special way. Like tonight, you are special. You're a specially jacked up person because so am I. And we can't fool ourselves into self-righteousness that says, you know, at the end of the day, I'm okay. I know they say I need to get involved more in community, but I don't think it's an absolute necessity in my life right now because I'm really busy and I've got these things going on. And really, I'm okay. I don't need to really invest my life in personal relationships like that. I think what I've got is good. No, that's a red flag. If you don't see how broken and jacked up we all are, something is wrong. If you don't, if you identify yourself tonight as a follower of Jesus, and in your heart you don't feel a need, a desire to have meaningful relationships with others so they can speak truth into your life, something is wrong. Because the Bible, the picture the Bible paints as of us is not that pretty. It says we're all broken. We all mess up. We've all got stuff that's not working right. And we all need people to speak into our lives. So what does that look like? What does it look like for someone to speak truth into your life? Let me start with this. Galatians 6:1 says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. The idea is this. There's going to come a point where the burden on your back gets too heavy and you're going to come up short. And when you come up short, you need someone to pick that burden up for you and carry it the rest of the way. That's what it looks like to speak truth into someone's life. It looks like to help them carry the burden that they can no longer carry alone. Let me get really personal with you and explain how this worked in my life, okay? When I was a freshman in high school, my stepmom passed away. She had fought brain cancer for about 4 years, and she passed away. And I became incredibly depressed. I'd never actually faced that level of a trial before in my life. But the reality was, I'd kind of pushed myself away from the church. I didn't have a lot of tight friends who I was really close with, and I didn't have anyone to speak about it. So I'd come home, and I would literally lay on the floor, turn music on, and try to find how somehow muster up some kind of happiness. I would go to class, and I would sit in my seat, and I would just be sad and depressed. I would literally have people, I'm surrounded by people, but feeling completely alone, and be, are you all right, Brian? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. Are you sure you look really sad? No, I'm good. I'm fine. And for months, I went on like this because I didn't have meaningful relationships. The burden was too heavy for me to carry, and I didn't know Jesus, and he couldn't carry it for me, and I didn't know other believers of Jesus, and they couldn't carry it for me, and because I had isolated myself, I was trying to carry this burden that I couldn't carry on my own, and I was failing. And can I say, God does not want your life to be like that tonight? He doesn't. That's why when we see the scripture is so rich, we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11, it says this, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Now here's the kicker. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Sooner or later, there's going to come a moment in your life when you can't carry that burden anymore. The pain's too much. The discouragement is too much. And you need people who are going to be able to encourage you and build you up and speak that truth into your life. Because in that moment, there's a lie being fed to you that says, things are never going to get better. God's forgotten about me. My life is terrible. I should just give up hope. And what you need is a friend who can step into your life and say, no, God's word says this. This is the promise that Jesus gave us. He wrote it in his own blood. Don't give up. Hold fast to the gospel. Hold fast to Jesus. He's going to see you through. Let me carry this burden with you. I am here with you. I can walk you through this. Don't quit. Don't quit. And if you don't invest in those relationships now, it's not going to happen then. We all have an incredibly great need for relationships. Not only that, if you look at Galatians 6:1, it says this, brothers, if anyone is caught and any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. You know, another way we fall short in carrying our burdens is we all sin. We all have these areas in our life that we, if we're really honest, don't want people to find out about. Hey, I'll get to know you, we can hang out, but this part of my life, I'm not really interested in talking about. You need someone who can speak into your life and even tick you off some and say, that's not right, man. You need to think about this because it's not honoring to the Lord and it's not good for you. We all need that. We need someone when I am falling short and the burden of my sin is too much who can come with me. And then when I get angry at them and say, who are you to judge me? Who are you to call me out? They don't just run away, but they say, hey, because I love you and I'm committed to you. And even though I'm kind of angry at how you're reacting, I'm going to stay with you and I'm going to walk with you. And then you're going to come around and you're going to realize I'm right. And we're going to love each other more. We're going to love Jesus more and everything is going to get better. We all need those kind of relationships, all of us, but they don't just happen. They don't just happen. You've got to invest in that. So let me ask you a few questions as we kind of close this thought up, okay? Do you in your heart feel the need to have truth spoken into your life? Is that a part and you're like, man, I know I need people to step into my life and speak truth into my life. Because if I don't have that, I'm not going to make it. I need those meaningful relationships. Let me ask you this another way. Are you humble enough to allow someone to carry your burden? Guys, listen to me for a second. You know how we do it? Because I've been there. I'm there like all the time. Hey, man, how can I pray for you? I'm good. Nah, everything's good. When really your heart's breaking on the inside because you're addicted to pornography, you're fighting with your girlfriend, you have a bad relationship with your parents, but you're too prideful to let any of that out and let actually someone into your struggles and your issues in life. And they're there offering to help you carry that burden, to move you into freedom and to break free, and we're too prideful to let them know. You've got to be humble enough to admit, yeah, I'm struggling. I'm not perfect. I've got some failures and some weaknesses, and I need your help. But you know, these things, like I said, they don't just happen, right? True followers of Jesus invest in meaningful relationships because they need truth spoken into their life, and that doesn't happen overnight. Now, here's where I want to ask you tonight. What do you do now? How do you respond to this? Maybe you're saying, you know what, Brian? I realize I don't have a lot of those relationships in my life. I don't have someone who knows me well enough to speak truth into my life. Okay, this is what I want you to know. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And if God has been speaking to you or leading you in any way, maybe he is convicted you of pride that says, I'm not allowing anyone in to carry my burden. Maybe he's convicting you and saying, you know what? You really haven't invested in meaningful relationships enough. Or maybe he's saying, you know what? You've demanded everyone to meet you where you're at, but you haven't tried to meet someone at all where they're at. That's going to be your opportunity to come clean. What I mean is to confess that to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is wrong. I've blown it. Forgive me. Heal me. Let's move forward. And then you're going to have the opportunity to actually do something about that. This Sunday, we're having our small group kickoff. And all that is an opportunity for us to go get free lunch after church and then break up into small groups. Now, at High Street, we do these things called small groups, which is taking this group, and it's really a novel idea, and breaking them up into smaller groups. Now, all you do in that is it's an opportunity for you to take what we're talking about right here on Wednesday night and flesh it out with other people who are struggling just like you are in real life. So tonight, if you have felt at all compelled to invest in meaningful relationships more, come on Sunday. Be here at church. Come eat lunch with us. Then we'll get you connected to a small group. And you know, it's not going to be perfect. In fact, it might be kind of weird. You're going to look across the table and you're like, I don't know how this is going to go. Because when I look at you, you look perfect. And when I look at my life, I know it's jacked up. And I don't know if I'm ever going to feel comfortable enough to talk to you about that. And you know what? You're probably going to get frustrated with each other. And there's probably going to be some stuff happen. But I promise you, what we do is we try to create this environment where you can have the freedom to talk about stuff. You can have the freedom to work out issues. You can have the freedom to push each other to love Jesus more and to apply the gospel to your lives. And if you want to have these kind of relationships and you want to do it here at High Street, that's going to be the best way for you to get connected to them. The best way. So don't make excuses. Set 5 alarms on your phone if you have to, but be here. Don't miss it. And get connected into a group and then commit to that group. Love them, serve them, sacrifice for them. Invest in their lives. Because when you mutually invest in each other, there's this incredible way where the more you're about another person and the more they're about you, you build each other up and Jesus gets more glory and you get more love and you get more joy and you get more freedom from all kinds of junk in your life. And everything flourishes. Okay, let me pray for you. And we'll go into a time of response. Father, tonight we thank you that you are so gracious to us. We thank you that even though we make excuses and we justify why we're not connected and we make excuses about why we shouldn't get involved more and connect with people more, that you patiently love us and wait for us to take that step. Tonight, I pray, don't let a single person leave here without really speaking and doing and time with you. I pray that you would draw us in, that you would convict us, that we would confess and we'd come clean and we'd turn to Jesus for healing. I pray for those who are not allowing anyone to carry their burden, that tonight they would be humbled and that they would invite people into their struggle. I pray for those who realize I haven't made the effort I need to make to invest in relationships, that you would give them a burning desire in their heart to make that effort. And my hope is that when these lives become on fire for you, Lord Jesus, that you get honor and glory through it all. And it's in your name that we ask these things. Amen. So this time, guys, if you want to stand and worship with us, stand. If you need to pray, you can go right there. You can kneel on the ground. You can pray right there. This is your opportunity to respond. Whatever you need to do, just don't waste this opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Vertical Access Podcast. If you'd like to know more about VA, check out highstreet.org.